These poor dogs. We just attach these points of view on these poor dogs. Like dog is man's best friend. How desperate are humans?
We're best friends, right?
Dog's like, well, aren't we different species?
But we're best friends forever.
You know, you locked me in the house all day. With nothing but a bowl of water. You'd think you let your best friend sit on the couch.
We're best friends. Now put on this fireman's outfit. We're gonna do a photo shoot for Instagram.
You know, sometimes when you sleep, I think about eating your face.
I was invited to a surprise birthday party. It was a surprise birthday party for a dog. That's right, I have friends that are mentally ill.
I went, it was in my apartment building, and I needed the material. And to be fair, the dog was surprised. Didn't suspect a thing. Dog didn't know it was his birthday. Dog didn't know it had a birthday. The dog wasn't sure why people were in the apartment. It was the dog's third birthday, which in dog years, doesn't matter. Someone made that up, and we just went along with it.
Oh, 1 year equals 7 for doggies? Okay. When I see a dog, I'll do math.
That's not fulfilling some dog need. You know, there's not a dog sitting in a bar right now going,
I'm not 3, I'm 21. I can legally drink.
That's not how dogs keep track of time. If you have a dog, you know they don't keep track of time. You've left your home, forgotten something, walked back in, only to be greeted by your dog like you've just returned from war.
They're back! It's a miracle! They're back after I don't know how long, because I'm a dog!
These poor dogs! We just attach these points of view on these poor dogs. Like dog is man's best friend. How desperate are humans?
We're best friends, right?
Dog's like, well, aren't we different species?
But we're best friends forever.
You know, you locked me in the house all day. With nothing but a bowl of water. You'd think you let your best friend sit on the couch.
We're best friends. Now put on this fireman's outfit. We're gonna do a photo shoot for Instagram.
You know, sometimes when you sleep, I think about eating your face.
But I get it. I love dogs, too. I love animals. We all have the friend that announces they love animals in a way that implies the rest of us are drowning kittens.
Yeah, but I love animals.
Well, that's a pretty exclusive group of just you and anyone who's not a serial killer.
Yeah, but I just get along with animals better.
Or humans don't like you. I did have an opportunity to go on a safari, which was unbelievable. It was breathtaking how bad the Wi-Fi was.
But you know, the thing about it, you learn how to survive. The only problem I had is I had a dog still. I was like, dumb motherfucker, I don't need no fucking dog right now in a pandemic. Get your stupid ass out of here. And that motherfucker had a nerve to get sick, you know. And that's when you need to keep your hood like. And I fucking feel sorry for that motherfucker. Back in the day, my dog gets sick, I throw him in the trash can. You know what I'm saying? And I know you white people don't want to hear that. Like, fuck you. You get sick, motherfucker, I don't even go to the doctor. I'd be damned if I pay to take your dumb ass to the doctor. We used to get raggedy-ass dogs that live fucking forever. I had a dog that lost 2 legs. He walking on 2 legs. That motherfucker, he walking like a supermodel all the time. That motherfucker lived until he was 138. Fuck you, dog. My dog got sick on a peace bid, cost us $6,000. And then he gonna come home and shit on the floor. I kicked $6,000 out of his ass. Yes, I did. I certainly did. Disrespectful motherfucker. He can't even protect us. He can't do shit for us. He can't kill nothing but time. That's it. He kills time.
My mom So we're a Jewish family. She names the dog Mazel Tov, okay? She's telling me about him getting diagnosed. She takes him to the vet. She's got one of these crazy vets who, like, talks to their animals like they're patients, you know? So he's, like, sitting there with my mom and the dog. It looks him, the dog, right in his stupid, fat, diabetic face, okay? No one feel bad for him. He's not here. We can make fun of him. Also, he's a dog. He has no idea what's happening at all times, okay? So she looks, or the vet looks right at him and goes, Mazel Tov, you have diabetes. Like, that is incorrect. That seems anti-Semitic. I know it's not, but it felt like it when she told the story. Ugh. She's out of control. She bought a computer recently. She wouldn't let me help her set it up. And then, like, an hour after she bought it, she calls me and she's like, hey, I'm locked out of my computer. I can't get in. Can you get into my computer for me? I'm like, I can't get into your computer. What do you mean? You're having trouble? And she's like, yeah, I don't remember my password. I was like, just, you're going to have to remember it. I don't know how to get into your computer for you. So she gets mad. She hangs up on me. She calls me back like half an hour later. She's like, didn't need your help. Got back into my computer. I'm like a hacker. No, Mom, you're the opposite of a hacker, okay? You forgot caps lock was on. That is not what a hacker is, you know?
But it's not all bad. I got a girlfriend over this pandemic, which is good, but like I'm really insecure about things now. Like I realize doing all these quarantine walks that my girlfriend gets more excited to see a dog than when she sees my own penis, and that's not good, ladies and gentlemen. That's not the sign of a family relationship right there, you know? I remember the first time I got naked for her, I was excited. I made a sound effect and everything. I was like, ta-da! She's like, ta-da, I don't know, I'm not seeing cartoon sound effect right there, you know? But I remember the first time we were together, we saw a dog. First of all, girls don't even see dogs, they just sense them, you know? They just know where they're at. She's like, 3rd and Broadway, Pomeranian mix. It's like, are you calling plays to the FBI right now? Move in. So we're walking down the street, right? And she just snaps her neck, and she sees this beautiful dog. It's a Labradoodle. I don't know if you know what a Labradoodle is. It's like Jesus, but in a dog form, right? And she sees it, and she just looks at this dog and just eye contact, direct. And she goes, oh, my God. Who's this big boy coming down the street, huh? Mama want to touch. Mama want to play. Mama want to rub on them balls. Woo, woo, woo. And I'm like, how the fuck did you just turn into DMX right now? I don't. And she's looking over at me. She's like, what you really want? And I was like, oh, fuck. You actually are DMX. And she's like, and I'm going to give it to you. And I was like, please do not do that. Now I'm looking over at the dog pissed off. Like, we got issues, buddy? I got a Hershey's bar in the back pocket, okay? I ain't afraid to use it, dude. Fucking, I got PETA on speed dial.
My wife told me the world's ending. She's very smart, much smarter than me. She's kind of a dichotomy, though. She said two things. These were the two sentences she said back to back. She said, hey, Sam, the world's ending. Next sentence, I bought our dog some accessories. Those were the two thoughts she conjoined. We have 40 more years left on Earth. That's what she said. Also, I bought Gordy a top hat and a bow tie. Do you know how much harder that's going to make it to eat Gordy? He's already cute as fuck. He's a Bichon poodle, all right? Save your money for bullets and salt, baby. I would eat my dog. I fucking would. If you wouldn't, you don't love your dog. Why do you think I pet him so much? I'm tenderizing the fucking meat. That's all that's going on. Checking out how it's marbled underneath that fur. Yeah. Mmm. Dog meat.
And I know what you're thinking. God, what a fucking Renaissance man. But but the reason I dogs, they're just so much more immediate. But the thing about them too, I prefer them, much prefer them. This is no offense, over people. You know, I just much prefer dogs over people. It's just unconditional fucking love. Like you people, you're cunning, deceitful fucks. Oh, and no offense. You're ruining people's lives as we speak. The person next to you. Oh, yes, Julie. No, I definitely, definitely. We're together forever. Bullshit. But dogs, they're so in the fucking moment. We are never in the fucking moment. Yeah, 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 yeah. You have a bad disease. But dogs... Let me check Twitter. No, 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 no. Hopefully you pull through. Ooh. 7 notifications.
We have no kids. We do have a dog, which they say is like having a child. I mean, no one who has a child says that, but the rest of us, we love to say it. It's the best. You ever tell a parent that you're a parent because you have a dog? Try that shit with a cat. They're not listening to that at all. A dog will entertain you for a minute. I have a lot of friends who are new parents, and I try to get in on those new parent conversations. Like, my friend was like, oh, I'm so tired. My kid kept me up all night. He was crying. I'm like, dude, I know exactly what it's like. Chico, my dog, barked 3 times last night. Very loud. Very annoying. Dude, we're in it together. He's like, that's not the same thing. I'm like, well, did you try to make him give you the paw? Have you tried that? This is the best I can come up with. This is my counter. I'm just like, oh, well, have you ever had to take your kid around the block at 5 in the morning in the cold when he has diarrhea? What? No? You get to change your kid in the comfort of your own home? Sounds easy and luxurious. So, I don't know. That's all I got. My dog's a little bit of a humper. He humps. You bring him to the dog park, he's trying to fuck everything. One time he's humping a French bulldog. I get it, sexy dog. And I pulled him off, and it was a male dog. It was a male dog, my dog's a male, and I was like, oh my God, do I have a gay dog? Because if I do, that would be incredible, because then any of my friends are like, you got a gay kid? Dude, I got a gay dog, man, it's the same thing. You gotta love him, give him treats, a rainbow collar. I'll tell you what, there was one thing I was not prepared for as a parent of a dog. One thing I wasn't prepared for, and that is full-on dog boner. Have you ever seen this monstrosity? Oh my God, I'm not talking about the dick coming out a little bit. I'm talking about full-on where it looks like they humped their dick out of their fur. Have you ever seen this horror show? When my dog was a puppy at the dog park, I got him a little too late, I pulled him off, and I was like, oh man, he needs to go to the hospital. Now, when I say the hospital, I'm not a moron. I don't mean the real hospital. I wasn't gonna bring him in and they're like, oh, your dog's boner? All right, you'll be seen after the guy who got shot and the guy got stabbed. Definitely third, have a seat. But I thought something was wrong. And I went up to my girlfriend and I'm like, Chico has to go to the hospital. And we looked and she started to freak out because we're new parents. And I didn't want anyone to see. I didn't want anyone to see his erection. I was so embarrassed for him. So I picked him up and I put him in my shirt. And I carried him out of there like he was like a disgraced CEO on a perp walk. And I just carried him out. And I'm not a brave man. But in probably the bravest moment of my life, when we're leaving the gate to the dog park, I turn to my girlfriend and I go, don't worry, we'll get through this. And she goes, Chico's boner? And I go, precisely. So we go to the animal hospital, we're waiting there, and then it just starts to go down. And I Google it, and they're like, yeah, it's normal. And I'm like, we gotta get out of here before they charge us. And then they're like, as they're calling us to go in, I just scoop them, put them back up in my sweatshirt, I just walk out of there, I'm like, what? There ain't no dog in here. There ain't been a dog in here in 30 years. And we just leave. And I gotta be honest, guys, it's my fault because I forgot about the first rule of dog boner, which is this. If your dog gets a dog boner that's not going down, what you have to do is you have to take him, you have to unplug the boner, let it sit for a minute, plug it back in, it resets, and you are good.
New York City's got some of the only beaches in the world. You could walk into the ocean, step in dog shit. Beaches just shouldn't be subway accessible. You know what I mean? There's just a limited amount of serenity on the F train. I ride the subways all the time. You know, you're not supposed to walk between the subway cars while the train is moving. That door is strictly a stage entrance for crazy people. As soon as that door swings open, there's a collective sigh from the rest of the car.
Nothing reputable ever walks through that door. It's like a portal to an asylum. You know, I'm liberal up to a point, but I draw the line at housing the deranged on the F train. People should be able to commute to their jobs without being exposed to psychosis. We shouldn't all have to be silently huddled at one end of the car because of somebody at the other end losing a heated argument with a ghost. Wouldn't want to interrupt that conversation. I stopped going to therapy because of the subway. I had to take 2 rush hour trains to get to the therapist's office. By the time I got there, I was just racked with anger and anxiety. He'd spend an hour talking me down for $300, and then I'd have to get back on that fucking train again. Lots of daunting announcements on the train. This is my favorite. A crowded subway is no excuse for unlawful sexual conduct. Do we really need to be told that? Oh, some guy getting on. Man, there's a lot of people on this train. Are we allowed to fuck them? No, you can't. They just made an announcement. What about the A train? Oh, you can fuck anybody on the A train. Oh, thank you. You ever sit next to somebody in the subway and they start coughing and you hope that they have lung cancer because you don't want to get coronavirus? It's hard to be socially distant on the subway without pulling out my dick. It's all right, I wear a mask. And a condom. Subway's filthy. That's just a joke. I never wear condoms. I hate condoms. It's gonna be on my headstone. He hated condoms. I don't even want to be buried in a coffin. Just throw me right in the hole. I want a raw dog. It's straight to hell.
We have 2 dogs. One is... Oh, Jesus, he fucking... He's one of them small, yellow, yappy bastards. He's a cross between a mop and a panic attack. And I hate him. I fucking hate him. There's no peace in him at all. It's balanced out by this other dog we have. We have a Bernese mountain dog the size of a sofa. And he adores me. He fucking... I love you, Tom! I love you more than anybody will ever love you. Go on, put on the snooker. But I want to spend all day watching snooker. I'll go see who it is. Fuck off! We're watching the snooker! I hate your wife, Tom. I hate her. She's... You should have married me.
Now, you're probably wondering how somebody as kind of prone to whatever the fuck it is that is going on with me gets a wife. Well, let's just say this. She wasn't a psychotherapist when I met her. Let me tell you how I ended up with a wife. I left the seminary, wasn't going to be a priest, and I wandered for a little while. I wandered north, south, and east, and eventually, fatefully, I arrived into a beautiful place called Galway on the west coast of Ireland in 1988, October 1988, on a rainy Tuesday afternoon in October. I had a long, big head full of water boy's dreams. I have fucking a knapsack on me back. But I was practical. I had me dole transferred before I left. And I was on the dole, which is what we call it in Ireland. I was on the dole and I loved being on the dole and I had no prospects and I didn't want any fucking prospects. I met a lovely lady. She was also 19. She was on the dole. She had no prospects. And we decided now would be a good time to start a family. So... We had 3 children. They were all on the dole as well. But 19 is young enough to be starting that crack because you don't know what's ahead of you down the road. And lo and behold, when I was 32 years of age, I met another lovely lady. And I couldn't decide between the pair of them. I was riding one and riding the other and taking notes, and I couldn't. Eventually, I decided to go with the second lovely lady. And even though myself and the first lovely lady weren't married, we'd been together for so long, we were like common law man and wife. But I actually married the second lovely lady, and now we have three children. So now I have six children from two lovely ladies, and we all live in the same place, so none of us can get over it. And I just want to give all the ladies in the room here just another minute or two to finish judging me. I don't think there's much point in asking the lads because a lot of them didn't even follow the story. The lads are going, what happened to the dogs? Get him to do the dogs again.
So we have two dogs. They're Jindo. I don't know if you've ever heard of that breed. They're from South Korea. And the traits are they are very loyal, they are self-cleaning, they once ate a recliner. They actually fight with each other like cats and dogs. I once gave them cat food by accident and they've ignored me ever since, like a cat. I love them so much. Before we had the Jindos, we had JJ. He was a Bichon poodle, and he looked like a slipper. And we got him from a rescue in Beverly Hills. He was wearing Crest White strips. He would only fetch a golf ball. And yeah, so when we got him, first of all, he was so polite. Like, he would only mark his territory using orange traffic cones, but he was as trainable as a carrot. The people at the shelter, when we got him, said that he was 4 years old, and we didn't care. We didn't care, we just loved him. And then when we took him to the vet was like, he's at least eight. I know, this dog is at least eight. I guess they can tell by the bones and the teeth. And I'm thinking, wow, they even lie about how old their dogs are in Beverly Hills. Well, I guess how old is eight? That's like 56, yeah. There should be a clothing store for dogs called Forever Three. You guys went, That's the kind of response I want at a comedy show.
I don't know. Do people even have kids anymore? I don't even know. All the girls I know don't have kids. They have dogs. And they call them their kids. Oh, God, I hate these little purse dogs. They think they're tough. It's like, because they've been bred weird. Like, they got a brain of a wolf and a body of a hamster. And they're like, it's kind of this girl, she had this little purse dog. She had to tell everybody she rescued it. I rescued my dog. I rescued it. And then she'd get really quiet so people could praise her. Like, oh, you rescued your dog. I guess all heroes don't wear capes. Oh, wow. You drove down to the pound and pulled out your credit card. Have you always known you were special? Right? Rescued a dog. They always go, it's a rescue. That always bugs me too. This dog's a rescue. I'm like, no, rescue's a verb. Can't be a rescue. Now go in the kitchen and make me some eat. Gotta sit there and listen to the whole rescue story. So the dog's sitting there too. Dog's heard the story a trillion times. She's looking up at you. She's always like, he was chained to a pallet in a junkyard, and all he got to eat were shampoo bottle caps and dead batteries, and had to sleep in an active waffle iron. And the dog's always looking up at you like, it wasn't that bad, it was fucking awesome. It's a junkyard. There was so much shit to do. Now I live in a purse, for fuck's sake. Are you going back to the junkyard? Give me a ride there? And she takes it into every business in her purse. Like, I'm like, leave it outside. It's a dog. She goes, no, I had a dog stolen. And I'm like, how do you know it wasn't just rescued from you? And I know you think you'd rescue the dog because if you don't take him home from the pound, they put him to sleep. But you only took one dog home, right? That's not what a hero does. You can't do that shit if you're a fireman. Come out of a burning apartment building just holding one chick. Look, I rescued her. Fire marshal, what happened to all the other people? I didn't really have a connection with all the other people in there.
Love the dog. They love him. Just start letting him sleep up on the bed with them. They love him. They want to like cut him open and sleep in him tauntaun style. You know what I mean? Just for the warmth. They love him until they see a cat. I don't know if it's because I have daughters. They just love, like, any cat. Could be the most janky-ass cat ever. Feral. One eyeball hanging out because it just fought with a raccoon near our recycling. Right. Like, dragging its bloody stump of a leg across your
just
driveway.
Just tearling, making an all...
My kids would look at that and be like, can we get a cat, please?
Please!
I'm like, no, you cannot have a cat.
Because fundamentally, we do not like cats.
We don't condone
it. We grew up with
it.
Dogs. We've had a fight with people about cats versus dogs forever.
This is not a new fight, but I want to settle it right here.
We'll end the argument.
We'll end the argument right here.
What is the best thing anyone's ever said about a cat?
He's like a dog.
You got any, my cat?
He's
a dog. He's like a dog. He comes when you call him.
He knows his name.
We put a leash on him and walk him around.
Oh,
he knows
great.
He's our pet.
Oh.
So you're telling me the best cat in the world is a mediocre dog.
That's all you're saying,
right? Just get that straight. Because guess what? No one's ever going to say the reverse of that.
Nobody.
No one's going to be like, you got to meet my dog, bro. He totally thinks he's a cat.
Cat right? Dog.
It's cat dog. Poops in like a little box in my kitchen.
Cat dog. We haven't seen him in 8 years because someone jostled a cabinet door too loudly.
Cat dog.
I don't even know if he's still in the house.
Cat dog.
Cat dog.
I saw him take a swipe at a baby for no reason.
Baby was doing nothing. Just,
baby was napping on his back. And he, and look, by the way, we're not knocking all cat owners.
No, there are cat owners who are great. We're just trying, let's draw the distinction between cat owners and cat people.
Cat owners are fine.
Cat people need to be put down.
Here's the difference.
Here's the difference. Cat owner will buy expensive cat food for his or her cat.
Cat person will taste it first just to make sure.
Just to make sure it's seasoned properly.
Do I taste oregano?
No, yeah, you shouldn't taste that at all.
When did you come in? When were you in the military, dude? When did you go in? 95. Okay, so like right after Don't Ask, Don't Tell came in. To be like, I'm not calling you gay. Like, I don't mean that. Like, I came in 1992. That was before Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That was when it was illegal to be gay in the military, right? Even the Navy, even those guys. I'm not saying they enforced the rules exactly the same. I'm just saying. It was technically illegal, but like, it was fucked up. They would ask you. They could ask you back then. They're like, "Are you a homosexual?" You're like, "No, hell no, fuck no." I think, like, maybe, I don't know. I'm 17. Like, I don't know. Like, right at that point in my life, I had equal amounts of each. Zero. I see you guys. So you guys looking at me weird. Somebody in here's like, "Get that man a Bud Light." No, calm down. It's okay. Oh shit. It's fine. But they would ask you, like, are you a homosexual? And it was a doctor that asked you. The doctor would be like, are you a homosexual? You're like, no, hell no. And they'd be like, all right, turn around, spread your butt cheeks, bend over at the waist. You're like, bullshit. I see what you're doing. No. You're not getting me, buddy. You're not getting me. Right? But they would. He would ask, and then you would turn around, and he would look right there. It was crazy. And then, and that's how the rumor started. There was a rumor that went around. It's like, well, they can tell. Huh? So they can tell if you've ever had anything up there. Anything? Ever? Because, I mean, I was a latchkey kid. I had a lot of free time. You know what I mean? I used to play a little game called Will It Fit? And, you know, usually, yeah. You know what I mean? A little can-do attitude. You know what I mean? It'll work. When'd you get out? 98, 90, 2000? All right. That's good. You get your disability? Did you get that? No, you need to get that, dude. I just got my 100%. That's the shit. It's pretty good, man. It's pretty dope. It's pretty good. Okay, that's, see how some of the people are clapping loud. That's because they're veterans. Others are like, I don't want to clap too loud. They'll take my disability away. That's fine. That's good. The people that clap and get it, because, like, you know, I just got 100%, and that means I get a check until the day I die. That's the best part about it. Yeah, that's the best. But people don't understand that, so they come up, like, they hear you're disabled. They go, oh, my God, are you okay? You're like, you bet your ass I am. Like, right, yeah. I don't pay property taxes anymore. It's awesome. It's great, right? I'm a big fan of, like, raises for government employees now. They're like, hey, we're going to raise property taxes by 4%. I'm like, fuck it, let's make it 8. Let's go. Yeah. Do that, right? It's good. I don't know. Other people come up pissed. They're like, you don't look disabled. I'm like, that's because you can't see the movie that I'm watching. So, it's good. When I first got my 100%, they told me they wanted to give me a service dog, right? And that's cool, man. I was like, yeah, that's awesome. But, and I don't know why. I thought it was going to be fast. I thought it was going to be quick. I thought they just had like an Amazon warehouse full of dogs. Just sitting around doing whatever dogs do, playing poker, whatever, I don't know, right? And then the alarm goes off, the dogs are like, oh my God, there's a veteran in Virginia that's having bad dreams. Go, 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 right? And they just come running out, they slide down a pole, they're like, we're here, and they're, you know. That is not how that works. It takes a long time. It took almost 2 years for me to get a service dog, right? Finally, this nonprofit calls, they go, hey bro, we got you a dog. I'm like, sweet, that's awesome. They go, oh, you're gonna love him. He's a little black lab, his name is Trip, he's so cool. I was like, awesome, I love labs. And they go, well, there's one small catch. He actually failed out of service dog school. I didn't know you could do that. Like, I didn't know that was a thing, right? But it does make sense, right? Because not everybody gets through every military school they go to, right? Not everybody can be like an Army Ranger or Navy SEAL, you know, which is how we get Air Force people. It's cool. His name is Trip. He's a cool dog, but he is perfectly named because every couple hours he goes on a little mental vacation. He does. He does. He'll be normal, and he'll walk up and get 2 inches from a wall, and he'll just be like, huh. And he stays there for like 2-3 minutes at a time, and I'm clapping like, Trip, Trip, hey, Trip. Because 1 second he was fine. Next minute he's Mitch McConnell at a press conference. And he's back. I'm like, where the fuck did you go, Trip? Were you in the upside down? What happened to you? It's crazy, man. He's the dumbest dog I've ever had. I love him. He's the dumbest dog I've ever had. When we got him, they told us, they go, you can't even feed him in a regular bowl because he'll eat too fast and screw up his stomach. So we got to feed him in a thing called a slow bowl. If you don't know what this, you eat a little, the dog eats a little bit, then he goes off, he does a little doggy puzzle, and then he comes back and eats a little more. And I'm pissed. I'm like, this is bullshit. I gained a lot of weight when I got out of the military. Where was that technology for me? Like, all right, Dwayne, you can have another funnel cake, but first. A train leaves Boston going 75 miles an hour. I'd have still been fat, but I'd have been smart. You know what I mean?
Role models are important to know what's possible. But nobody talks about it's actually more important to have the opposite of role models, below models, you know? You know, people you can look at and be like, Thank God I'm not that bitch, okay. Yikes. Take Instagram, for example. I'm always scrolling on that thing, just seeing people accomplishing more than me that day, right? Like, oh, that guy got a great car. She's got a good ass. That guy got out of bed. That's why I only follow dogs. Because they're cute, but most importantly, they don't make you feel like shit. Because they just got finished eating their own shit. Right? They don't know the difference. Like, sure, I haven't accomplished much, but at least I don't stick my nose in someone's crotch the minute I meet them. I wait a day like a gentleman. You know, the problem, though, is that some of these dogs are starting to have better lives than me, okay? Right, like I follow this one dog, a Shiba Inu, you know, lives in Tokyo, Japan, likely story. And yeah, I mean, a beautiful dog. The body on this dog probably had some work done, you know what I mean? Double implant. But on this dog's Instagram, all the comments and captions are in Japanese, so I don't really know what's going on, but I'm just scrolling on this dog's profile at like 3 a.m., prime time to hate yourself. And, you know, I was just so moved, I wrote, "This dog is career goals." You know, and I sent that. Went to bed, woke up the next morning, and the dog had responded. He just wrote, "Thank you," in perfect English. So I guess this dog's also fucking bilingual too. Why the, how else does he want me to feel like shit, you know? Unfollow, that's, protect your energy. But no, I caved. I looked back on that dog's Instagram recently. I saw the dog died. Oh, I know, they don't live that long. Yeah. Right, so I guess I won in the end, you know what I mean? Feels good. Hey, feels good to be alive.
I also bought a dog recently. I bought a petite golden doodle because, you know, oh, I know, yeah, that's not how my friends reacted. My one friend's like, "Why'd you get a gay dog?" He's like, "Why don't you get a tough dog? Why don't you get a pit bull?" I'm like, "Because it doesn't matter. Even if I bought a pit bull, it's still me with a pit bull. Like, if the pit bull gets tangled in his leash, I'm still like, ooh, who got tangy in his leashy? Like, yeah. Love that dog. And I bought it. People give me a little guff for buying a dog. They're like, "Oh, you shouldn't buy dogs. You should adopt dogs." But they don't understand my situation. I live in a condo. I need a small dog that's hypoallergenic, that's not going to shed, blah, blah, blah. Those are my excuses. But what it comes down to is I have rescue kids. I can buy a dog. They love that joke. That's not one of them. I like taking my dog. I live near a rich neighborhood, and that's where I like to take her to poop. I feel like I'm getting back at the 1% a little bit. And I took her over there the other day, and while she was going, this guy comes running out of his house, and he's screaming. He's like, "Sir, sir, your dog is pooping on my lawn. You must clean it up immediately." She wasn't even done yet. What did he want me to do? Get under her? Like I'm making some dog do ice cream cone? Just like, let's put a little swirl at the top there. Is that what you'd like, sir? I was like, "I'll clean up. You don't have to worry about it." He's like, "I appreciate it, because there's a lot of people that don't clean up and have small children, and they'll play in the front yard and they'll find the dog poo and then they'll play with it and it gets everywhere." And I didn't want to be the one that told to tell this guy that he's got weird kids. Because that's not how kids operate. Kids aren't like, "Phew, toys are so boring. A turd, gimme!" So I was just like, "Don't worry about it, sir. I'm going to clean up. There's nothing you have to worry about." So I pick up my dog's stuff. I put it in a bag. I continue on my walk. He goes into his house. And then on my way back to my house, I stopped at his house again and took that bag and put it in his mailbox. Because if you assume I'm going to be a bad person, I'll prove you right.
I love Portland so much, I could not live up here because I own a purebred dog. Pretty sure they're illegal. I have rescues too, so don't be like, "You know, she only had rescues." I do rescue. My purebred, I rescued her from a breeder. You ever met those people? They're fucking nuts. breeders, they're the worst. This woman lived out in the fucking desert and she just bred dogs and guns. Out of her goddamn mind. So I think I did a good thing, and I get shit all the time. Like, I was at the dog park, and a woman actually said this in LA, and she goes, "Oh, you bought her?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And she goes, "I don't acquire dogs, I friend them." And then I unfriended the fuck out of her with my eyeballs. I have two rescue dogs. They're nuts. They're both out of their goddamn minds. All the time, I have to make excuses for them. I have to go in public. "Oh, sorry, she's a rescue. She's out of her goddamn mind." Like, most of the time when somebody says to me, "Oh, my dog's a rescue," I'm always in my head like, "Yeah, because why would you buy a three-legged dog, really?" You know?
The one thing is my third marriage, we had 20 dogs. Not exaggerating, 20 dogs. So Ashley and I, as we're talking over what our marriage is going to be like, I said, "One dog at a time. One dog limit," we called it. It's our little thing. And Ashley, she loves animals, goes to all these dog rescues, so it's so tempting for her. So last year, she was at this dog rescue. She's like, "Oh my God, I'm here at the rescue. They got the cutest little Bichon mix down here named Maggie. And if I don't adopt her right now, they're going to put her down. She does have one minor issue. But don't worry, the trainer can fix it." I go, "Oh my God, what is this minor issue this perfect little dog has that makes it okay to put her down?" She's like, "Well, she's a poop eater, but don't worry, Robert knows how to fix it." I go, "What the fuck is a poop eater?" "Well, she eats her own poo, but don't worry." I go, "That's the perfect dog you're talking about right there. So, you feed this dog one time, and it's a perpetual green energy machine, basically.
The dog went woof, 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 as dogs have done since the dawn of time. And for the first time, I suddenly thought, what is this dog trying to say? If I could inject Fox P2 into him, what would he be trying to say? And I assume a dog would be going, "Thief, thief," or "A burglar, thief slash burglar, assassin, behind the gates, they're here, listen to me, I know what I'm talking about, I'm a dog, hello, hello, woof, 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 woof. You say that I am the dog that cried woof, but really, this is important, it's now, now. Dogs are so sure, aren't they? They're so insistent. Woof, 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 woof. You've never heard a hesitant dog, have you? You've never heard of an unsure dog going, woof? Is that a woof? Are you an assassin? Hello, are you an assassin? See, I'm a dog here. And the owner of my house, he employs me, sort of, to do a survey on the people who are coming by the front gate. Do you follow? Hello, are you still with me? And so if you're an assassin, I must come and kill you by tearing out your throat with my teeth. But if you're a little old lady, well then good luck to you. You see my dilemma. Are you still there? It doesn't seem to be that's the conversation that dogs are having. They just go, woof, 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 assassins, motherfucker, oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? Seems like every dog seems to have joined a right-wing party. And based on very little information, they seem to be absolutely sure.
Dogs can be dangerous, though, too. I was reading a story on the internet, which means it's true, about a police officer who was attacked by chihuahuas. It's a true story. 5 chihuahuas broke out of a house, attacked a cop. He had to go to the hospital for ankle bites. It's a true story. How? You're a cop.
You have a gun. They're chihuahuas.
I love dogs. Love dogs. But if like a herd of angry rabid chihuahuas is coming at me, I'm kicking chihuahua ass. I bring it when I bring it, you know? That's how I roll. Come here, come here. Sleep. Forever. You gotta be sure. You'll be driving home, one pops up in the rear mirror on you, you gotta be sure. I've seen horror movies, I know how it works. It'll be kind of weird though when that cop's partner shows up. Hey, I heard gunshot. What did you do? They were attacking me? These were attacking you? That was attacking you? Yeah! Look at my ankles. His socks are ruined. Oh, shit.
They're crazy about their dogs in Los Angeles. It's gone too far. People love their dogs. It's gotten to the point now where if I don't stop and pet a stranger's dog, people take it personally. They get upset if you don't pet their dog. I was coming home late at night. This guy was letting his dog go to the bathroom on the parking strip. No leash, okay? So I see this dude, stranger, dog, no leash. I walk wide around him. As I'm walking around him, he yells at me with all this attitude. He's like, he's friendly. Yeah, that's how he said it, just like that. He's friendly. Oh, you know what? Maybe I'm not friendly. Did you ever think about that? Maybe if it gets too close, I'll bite your stupid dog. I don't want to touch your dog.
We're a nosy country, and I understand that television shows where they're voluntarily allowing you in their house is a bit different than the TSA forcing you into a search, but I'm only talking about our overall view of privacy. Like the Dog Whisperer, I like that show. I didn't want to like that show, but look what that show is. We watch a show to see if people's poorly behaved pets behave a little better by the end of the episode. Can you imagine 10 years ago if somebody suggested that to you, you would have spit in their face? I can't get up past the commercial. I gotta see if the Labradoodle quits barking. And I think we all watch it secretly hoping for a mauling. Like, you wanna see that one time where Caesar goes into a St. Bernard and you just hear like, argh, and the camera points up, and then the dog runs by with a severed mocha-colored hand with a watch on it. And that noise he makes is genius. He figured, who knew? Centuries and centuries of people going, sit, no, no. And dog's like, oh, fuck yourself. All right, I got it. Don't you wish that worked in a real relationship? How great would that be? You're watching television, your girl walks in, I wanna.
Oh, Doug loves movies. When I go to a party, I'm sure movies will come up again later, but when I go to a party, what I like to do is stand by the food and not talk to anyone. I like to just hang out by the food, watching, you know, eating, drinking, being high. And this girl comes up to me at a party one time, and this is how she starts a conversation with a guy who doesn't want to have a conversation. She's like, I have a three-legged cat. Just flirts that shit out of me. I have a three-legged cat. Three-legged cat! That's how she starts the conversation. The guy doesn't even want to talk to her. I have a three-legged cat. And I responded with too many words, as stoners are wont to do. I was like, so? No, there's more than that. That'd be weird if I said I responded with too many words and then just went with so. It'd still be just as rude as what I did say, because I was like, so most cats have three legs when you think about it. Right? Cats with four legs have three legs plus one more crucial pivotal leg. Cats with three legs have three legs. The only cats that don't have three legs are the ones with 2 through 0 legs. And when do you see them walking about out in the world? Never, unless they've got like a butt cart. If they've got like a squeaky wheel cart butt that they can roll in on and creep everybody out while you're trying to have a nice meal with the family and a nice big plate of yams. Yeah, that's how I'm ending that one, on the word yams. That's where that one comes to a close and gets a odd applause break. One that sounds like I dragged out of you. And that is the end of that routine. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I didn't know. People come up to me all the time after shows, and they're like, I want to give you a joke to use in your act. And I'm like, oh, I write my own jokes, but thank you very much. But this one lady came up to me. She was, like, all decked out, like a fancy older lady with a turban. You know, like a white lady with a turban and, like, a necklace and a big scarab or some sort of bug on her chest. But she seemed really fancy. It was in Tucson, Arizona, of all places. Really, woo? And she goes, I have a joke for you. And I was like, there's no way that this lady has a joke that I'm going to say someday at the Neptune Theater. But I had to hear it. I had to know what it was. So I said, all right, let's hear it. And she goes, what did the zero... Now, at this point, I know that she's trying to tell me a riddle. What did the... I already know it's a riddle, and we tell jokes in stand-up comedy, not riddles. If we told riddles for the entire shows, you guys would be like, what? Where? Who's there? We give up. You know, shit like that. If you wanted to participate, you'd go to a fucking... You'd go to a dueling piano bar. You know what I mean? You go to, like, Shout at the Wolf or whatever and watch them do their... What's the one here called? The Howl at the Moon. That's what I meant. But Shout at the Wolf would be an awesome... That'd be a great bar. Somebody should open Shout at the Wolf bars where they just have a wolf in a cage. You know, you feed them well. Take care of that wolf, be nice to it, brush its hair a lot, but then just let people get drunk and just go up to the cage and just fucking be just drunk and scream at a wolf. Just get all your frustrations out on a wolf. You know, it might like growl back at you or bark back at you, but like, you know, it won't want a divorce and take half of your money.
I started this whole thing by myself, just me and my dog. Just me and my dog, single. I adopted a dog in January. He's cool as fuck. But I got my dog when, like, you know, they still had good ones. Cause now, man, I got most of my friends, comedians, like, hey, man, what shelters you go to get your dog? And I was like, oh, man, went right down the street, grabbed him over there. Man, now these dogs, now all the dogs they got left are the ones from the commercial. These motherfuckers got 3 legs and 5 feet. You're like, how the fuck does this work? Got no eyes, can't breathe. He's super sweet, yeah, because this motherfucker needs you for everything. I bet you he is sweet. But I got him because he was chill, because the rest of everybody, I don't know if you've ever been to a shelter, but you know, most of them, like, you know, most, and you got to understand, like, they've been in prison this whole time. And so, like, it was like 12 dogs out there, you know, 11 of them beating on the glass, and my dog was just sitting, like, back in a recliner, just legs crossed, smoking a cigarette. He sounded like Paul Mooney. I would love to go home with you. This is kind of what I do. And if you don't mind, I'd like to go home with you today. And I was like, that's him right there. That's him.
You know, my daughter Monroe right now, she's a pretty good artist. And I'd like to think that part of the reason she's become a pretty good artist is due to my criticism of a lot of her earlier work. When she was younger, you know, she had talent, but I was watching the rest of the family ruin it by just giving easy compliments. And she's a smart kid. She's always been really smart. She figured out at an early age she could spend 2 minutes on something or 2 hours and get the same compliments. So why work hard? Why put in that extra effort, you know? She could just scribble some nonsense, hand it to a family member, and just hear, what? You did this? On your own? Monroe, this could be in an art gallery. I'm looking at the same thing thinking, that's not going to make the fridge. One time she handed me something so bad, I couldn't even tell what it was, and she got mad at me. She's like, what do you think? I was like, I don't even know what this is supposed to be. It's a dog. We have a dog right there. I want you to look at that dog, look at this, look at me, and say that again with a straight face.
I am thrilled to be here. I had a dog for 9 years, and I lost him, and I loved him so much. And, of course, I did a show once at Full House. It's now Fuller House. One day it'll be Fullest House. It'll just be me in an urn by the window. And And we had a golden retriever on that show named Comet. I don't know if you're familiar with the show. I'm not trying to just get the cred off of that, but there's a story, and it's kind of funny because it's showbiz weird. But he was a golden retriever, beautiful. We had him for years, and he was a twin, and we loved him a lot, and we lost him also. And because that, of course, does happen. That's life when you allow a creature to live beautifully as pit bulls should be allowed to live. And he got Air Bud. The dog starred in Air Bud. And John Stamos just walked around, and he went, fucking dog got a movie. We didn't. What are you talking about? It's a dog. Let him have his movie. I want a fucking feature. I want it. But you got the hair for it. You got that mullet. So, I don't know. You're halfway there. But he's like a sister to me, and I love him very, very much.
I got busted. Oh, I almost got busted when I wasn't even carrying. I flew into Calgary. But here's the story. I was super, super high. Oh, my God. And I was sweating so much weed, and I got high with a bunch of strangers in North Carolina. And then I get on a plane, and I fly into Calgary, Canada, fucking high out of my skull. Yeah, it's a place. And I'm super, super high, and I got to go through customs. And I make it through the first level of customs. Second level of customs, it's the two customs officers and the dog. Yeah, here's two things about me. I love animals, and I'm fucking stupid. Because my natural reaction to seeing that drug dog was to go, hey, pretty girl, how are we doing today? And the dog's like, you fucking idiot. You just made my job super, super easy, you fucking giant stoner. And the dog does this, walks up and sits at my feet, right? Which is how they let their trainers know. They're like, you're high, or you have weed, or you're a Muslim. And, yeah, I didn't know about the politically incorrect doggy training going at the Calgary airport. I just thought it was the most fucking adorable thing I'd seen all week. I'm like, who's making friends today? We are! Who likes ear rubs? Everybody. That's right, all the doggies in doggy land love to have their ears rubbed because it makes their foot go crazy. And the dog's like, dude, seriously, shut the fuck up. You are blowing it super, super hard, dude. And the dog was right. Apparently, I was fucking blowing it. Because the two dudes take me away from my new friend. And I'm like, where are we going? She's pretty. They bring me into another room that none of you want to go into at the Calgary airport. Because in that room, in my experience, is the meanest lady I've ever met in my life. Yeah, mean lady at the Calgary airport was all fucking business. She goes through my bags, makes me take off my clothes. Not the first time I've been nude in front of a mean lady. It's kind of a recurring theme. A lot of disappointment when this dude nudes up. And the two dudes start to leave me, and that's when I panic. I'm like, what's going on, fellas? Why am I in here in the first place? And the guy goes, well, sir, the dog indicated you. And at the time, I was still fucking high, so I'm like, well, all right. That makes sense, I guess. But in retrospect, I'm pretty fucking sure I indicated myself. Because you know who tries to hug drug dogs? People on drugs!
I'm 46. I look 30, feel 80. I've been doing this a long time, and I never thought that I would ever become an advocate. That was never like, it was never in my mind. But a pit bull type dog by the name of Angel. She came into my life and literally changed the trajectory of it. Like, just who she was, you know, it educated me, it inspired me, and countless of other people around the world. Angel was magic. And, you know, I feel so blessed to have known her and loved her and had her in my life and ended up, you know, we've saved so many other lives because Angel lived. And, yeah. And it's so important. And she was amazing, and she was the polar opposite of me. Like, for those of you that didn't know Angel, she had her shit together. She always had her shit together. She was zen. She was in the moment. She loved people. I hate everyone. Angel just shuffled around the earth. Just listening to Motown in her head. She was bigger boned, you know? And just marched to the beat of her own drum. And she was just so kind, and she was refined. She didn't, you know, eat cat shit. She didn't chase balls and, like, you know, play fetch and, like, toys. She was always like, no, never. No. Angel liked flying on airplanes and staying in hotels and eating cheese. She was a lady. And she was. We flew around the country together for almost 8 years. And it was incredible. I mean, she got so good at flying. You know, we would always board first, and she'd just march down the jetway, just like... She'd walk on, take a hard left, go into the cockpit. The pilots would be like, shit, oh, what is that? There's a hippopotamus in the cockpit. And because she was bigger boned, she'd just back out. She did. And she'd back into the first row seat and just sit there, just labia and titties out. People would walk on the plane, she'd be like, hello. Hello. And if someone didn't see her, she would literally look back at me like, did you see that shit? I'd be like, they just don't know, Ange. How could they not see a unicorn sitting right there?
I was 12 years old. My mom buys me my first pet. It's a little black cocker spaniel. I was so excited. I was like, Mom, what should we name it? She looks at the dog and goes, well, it's black. Let's name it Blackie. You can't name a black dog Blackie, Mom. That's racist. She go, oh, so funny, so funny. I racist, okay. You know you have black dad, right? So I live in Houston, Texas, in an all-white neighborhood, predominantly racist with a dog named Blackie. I didn't care. I was having the time of my life with the dog in the front yard. It's dinner time. My mom comes out and goes, hey, Blackie, come home.
It's always somebody getting upset and always somebody trying to calm somebody down. That's what relationships are all about. Basically, somebody's upset, somebody's trying to calm that person down. Very rarely will two people just go hysterical, right? And that's when the police are called. But other than that, sometimes it's your girlfriend that calms you down, or your wife. That's why you love her. You're upset about something, she goes, relax, it's not a big deal. Puts things into perspective, but it doesn't work. What you have to do is become the overreactor. No matter how upset she is, act even 10 times more upset. It works, unless she's here tonight with you. But let's say you're at a restaurant a week from now, and she goes, does it take an hour to get a hamburger? Just go, what? An hour? For a hamburger? That is bullshit! We are never going out to eat again! She's like, relax, it's just a hamburger. Go, all right. I just love you so much and I don't want to see you be unhappy. Let's say you're at home. You know, she's like, did you take the laundry from the washer and put it in the dryer? Just go, I forgot. I'm gonna kill myself tonight with liquor and ether. She's like, it's not a big deal. I'll do it. It'll take me a second. Go, all right. I just feel like I take advantage. Let me tell you something about dogs and puppies. When you're around a little puppy, 6 weeks old, that's who you are when nobody else is around. There's truth to this. Not when other people are around. Yeah, you might be nice to a puppy when other people are around. You see a six-week-old golden retriever puppy. Yeah, if other people are around, you might go, oh, look how cute you are. But who you are and the affection you have in you, it's when no one else is around and you're holding a six-week-old puppy. Because you know, you're like, you're so cute. You want to bite it and mush it and love it and squeeze it. And oh, so you ever see it, you want to bite it and suck on its face? Yes. Because it's so cute. Dogs are good people. That's who you are. You love. You ever see, if I go into the living room in the middle of the night, my dog's sleeping, first I look at the dining room table set nicely that I set the night before. And then if I see my dog laying on the sofa with its head on the pillow, oh, you're getting bit. I just suck on his face. I suck on his face. And when I say suck on his face, I know people get confused. What do you mean? Yes, suck on his face. Because a dog is good and a dog is pure and it's not judgmental, and I want to suck some of that goodness out into me. It's like when you see a baby. You ever see a baby with those cute little baby legs? Oh my God. You know when they're like boom, boom, white and pure and just, oh, they're not. Just, oh, I want to go up to people at the mall. I don't, but I want to. If they didn't think I was a freak, I would go up to people at the mall, go, can I ask you a favor? And I'm not a freak. Hi, my name is Todd Glass. How you doing? Good to see you. Can I bite your baby's legs?